From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news updates. The Alaska Supreme Court says the legislature violated the state constitution when it arbitrarily limited when some public employees could return to work and resume making retirement contributions. The decision provides a second chance for as many as 78,000 Alaskans to get back into the state's coveted and most generous retirement plan. KTOO's Matt Miller prepared this report.
I was very pleased to learn that on Friday, the Supreme Court reaffirmed the Constitution, that it's not constitutional for the legislature to try just by legislation overcome a promise in the Constitution.
Peter Metcalf of Juneau had brief stints working for the state in 1972 and 1980 and qualified for what was later known as Tier 1 in the state's retirement system. Tier 1 was the golden ticket for public employees in Alaska, maybe in the country at the time. It was a defined benefit retirement program, and for all you Gen Xers and millennials out there, that means guaranteed income for life when you retired. It included inflation and cost of living adjustments and medical coverage for a public employee or teacher and their dependents when they retired as soon as age 50. In 2005, the legislature shut all of that down. They closed the first three tiers of public employee retirement and created a new one with benefits that were not as generous. But lawmakers also imposed a deadline for former employees who cashed out their retirement contributions when they left. They could re-qualify as Tier 1 as long as they returned to work by 2010 and paid back their cash out. And that deadline is where lawmakers broke the promise made to state employees.
In general, Title 12, Section 7 of the Alaska Constitution positively affirms employees' rights once gained cannot be removed.
In a split 3-2 opinion last Friday, justices with the Alaska Supreme Court ruled in Metcalf's favor. Now, as many as 78,000 Alaskans could buy their way back into the state's more generous retirement benefit programs. Metcalf says he really doesn't plan to work for the state, a requirement for him to buy his way back into Tier 1, but that wasn't the point.
It is a principle. I don't think the legislature or the governor should be willy-nilly trying to limit benefits or freedom of speech or anything else that is protected under the Constitution.
Metcalf's attorney, Mark Choate, says he remembers when lawmakers were debating changes to the retirement program.
When the legislature did this in 2005, there was a lot of pushback, I think, within the legal community, people giving the advice saying, this is not right. You can't do this. It's contrary to the Constitution. And the legislature chose to do it anyway because they thought it would save them a lot of money, and maybe nobody would do anything about it.
Choate says the decision applies to any former employee who cashed out and has yet to return to work or who already returned to work under a less generous retirement plan. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
In other news, last December, a record-breaking storm caused landslides and flooding around southeast Alaska. In the roughly 100-person town of Tenneke Springs, the storm destroyed a bridge that provides vital access for a handful of residents. Now, as KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports, the community is turning to online fundraising to help rebuild it.
On December 2nd, Tenneke residents awoke to find their beaches littered with logs as big as 2.5 feet in diameter. Gordon Chu was part of the cleanup crew at the time.
We've been out all morning here with the tide coming in because the entire beach in front of all our houses are literally just littered with debris that's come down out of the rivers. Never seen anything like this before in the almost 20 years we've been here.
A gauge on the mountain behind town recorded more than 5 inches of rainfall in 24 hours. The storm uprooted trees and sent them hurtling downstream, clogging culverts and causing flooding. They also knocked out the 22-year-old Indian River Bridge, which stood 20 feet above the river.
It was well built, and it just never even crossed our minds that a whole pile of trees would come floating down and catch it with their big tall branches.
That's Tunnicky resident Steve Lewis. The bridge served as the only land access to town for him and his partner, Rachel Myron. Since December, they've relied on their skiff to get supplies, pick up their mail, and visit with friends. But rough weather, tides, and darkness can make accessing town by water tricky for the handful of East End residents. Myron and Lewis live 4.5 miles outside of town.
In terms of our lifestyle, we're tied to that bridge. It's important to us. One of the reasons we enjoy and chose to live here is kind of that reassurance of access to town and in particular to the infrastructure of the ferry and all of that.
But it's more than just practical. Myron says the suspension bridge was symbolic of the town's commitment to pedestrian access. And she says it was a joy to walk across.
I always hung out in the middle of the bridge where the bouncing effect was the biggest. And from there, you can look up and down river and watch the bears and watch the salmon and just take a deep breath and celebrate where we are.
Mayor Dan Kennedy says the town has reached out to state and federal officials about possible disaster relief funds to help rebuild the city-owned bridge. The town's partially finished hydroelectric plant was also badly damaged in the storm, along with two other bridges.
We don't know if we're going to get any disaster relief funds or state funds or FEMA funding, and probably even if we do, it will be, you know, a year or two down the line, which isn't very acceptable for the residents out there.
The city doesn't have the money to repair the bridge on its own. So when a local resident started a $15,000 GoFundMe account, the council thought, why not? With some volunteer labor and local expertise, the fund should cover the cost to rebuild the bridge and restore access for residents like Lewis.
Very similar to when we have an accident or a situation with the entangled whale or whatever. Everybody who knows how to help and can help comes together and finds a way to help each other in this town. And that's one of the beauties of living here.
So far, the fund is about a fifth of the way toward its goal. Kennedy says if they do receive state or federal funding down the line, they'll reimburse the costs. But in the meantime, he says, they couldn't afford to wait. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
Back here in Juneau, members of the public who are barred from the state capitol complex due to pandemic safety rules attended a social gathering with legislators in a complex building last week. The gathering was in the gymnasium in the Terry Miller Legislative Office Building, which is across the street from the Capitol. Anchorage Representative Sarah Rasmussen told the Alaska House of Representatives that it was a mistake during the floor session today.
I apologize to all of you for the lack of judgment that was exercised when several of us entered the gym and allowed a few people who are members of the public and do not have key card access to the facility.
Rasmussen says the gathering included playing ping pong and shooting basketballs. She is a Republican who is not a member of either House caucus. After the gathering, the head of the office that oversees the Capitol, the Legislative Affairs Agency, sent an email to all legislators and legislative aides reminding them that no one is allowed into legislative buildings who hasn't been tested and screened for COVID-19. Anchorage Representative Kelly Merrick echoed Rasmussen's apology. She is a Republican who caucuses with the mostly Democratic majority.
Last week, we made a poor choice and pledged not to repeat that mistake. We also have immediately apologized to the Legislative Affairs Agency, and we ask forgiveness from this body and from Alaskans.
Anchorage Democratic Representative Zach Fields also attended the gathering. He did not talk about it during the floor session today. And preliminary results show Assemblymember Forrest Dunbar with a slight lead in the race for Anchorage mayor. At 9 p.m., with just over 10,000 votes counted, Dunbar had 36% of the votes, followed by former Air Force pilot Dave Bronson with 30%. Following behind the two frontrunners were former city manager Bill Falsey, former Assemblymember Bill Evans, businessman Mike Robbins, and former special assistant to Mayor Berkowitz George Martinez. If no candidate receives more than 45% of votes, the top two will go to a runoff election on May 11th. Dunbar said he expects to be one of the runoff candidates.
This is about in line where we thought the race would be, not necessarily in the percentages, but just, you know, we expected that Bronson and our campaign would finish in the top two. But of course, like I said, there's still a lot of votes left to be counted. So we'll see.
Bronson did not return a request for comment Tuesday night. The petition to recall Midtown Assemblymember Felix Rivera was losing with a 939 no votes and 638 yes votes. For more on this story, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.